When it hurts, bind up your wounds and get moving. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That's Steve Brown. He's no guru, but he loves Jesus Christ. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach it. The program is Key Life, and here's Steve with a teaching for today. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your time of worship was as meaningful as mine, and your pastor's sermon was as good as mine. If you have your Bible open, if you will, I'm going to be referring to it as we go along. Generally, I do a book study or a verse-by-verse study, and we're not doing that. I'm kind of pausing in the midst of a long Old Testament survey to spend some time talking about the problem of pain and suffering and broken ropes. And we're going to take whatever time it needs. Most of this material is from my book, When Your Rope Breaks. You can get it at your local Christian bookstore, or you can give us a call. And no, I don't make anything on it. It all goes to Key Life, so I'm not hustling books. But if you'd like it, you might get it. And then we have a booklet, Does My Father Know I'm Hurt, that goes along with this, too. And if you'll write us or call us, I'd be glad, as long as supplies last, to send you one of those free. It's our practice on Mondays, before we study the book, to go before the throne. Let's do that. Father, we come before you now fully aware that we don't understand everything. And the longer we walk with you, we rejoice in the fact that it isn't necessary that we understand everything. In fact, Father, who knows your mind? Your thoughts are not our thoughts, and your ways are not our ways. And Father, as the heavens are higher than the earth, your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts than our thoughts. And so we come as a small child to a Father who is wise, really wise, a Father who knows everything, absolutely everything, a Father who can fix it all. And so, Father, we're here because we belong to you. We're bought and paid for, and we're your servant. But you made us more than that. You made us your child. Give us the grace to trust you in every circumstance. Give us the faith to ask you to change the circumstances when we just can't deal with them anymore. Give us yourself that we might know the peace that comes only from you. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast. We're all human, so very human. But we're here, and you're sufficient. We praise you, and we worship you, and we pray for the one who teaches that you would forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you were listening last week, after we spent a considerable amount of time talking about bad news, you can't hear the good news till you hear the bad news, and that is, it's a bad world. Stuff happens. It's hard. It's really hard sometimes. Then we talked about some really good news. A God who loves you, who has a purpose in whatever you're going through. As my friend John DeBrine says, every time a pagan gets cancer, a Christian gets cancer, so the world can see the difference. And so your suffering can be redemptive. Every time a Christian loses his or her business, or every time a pagan loses his or her business, a Christian loses his or her business, so the world can see the difference. Because this isn't all we've got. We're not home yet. Now, what we started last week and what I'm going to finish this week is how to tie a knot. As it were, tying knots 101 when your rope breaks. And we're talking about means of grace. And I mentioned last week that when I talk about means of grace, I'm not talking about this in a formal theological way. I'm talking about those things that God gives us as his gift to enable us to get through the really, really hard times. And we talked last week about honest prayer, telling the truth to God. When you pray, don't tell him stuff that isn't true. Don't say what you think he wants you to say. Say what's on your heart. That's why he's given us prayer, and that helps when it hurts. We talked about honest fellowship, the necessity of being honest with one another. That's hard sometimes, being honest with one another. And then we talked about honest Bible study. When you read the Bible, don't do it religious. Because if you do it religious, you'll you just won't get what it's saying. The Bible is a very earthy book, really earthy, really dealing with real problems of real people who are just like you. And you'll find it really helpful. And they will say to you, Hebrews 12:1, we did it, you can do it too. And then we ended last week by talking about honest action, doing what needs to be done. And I want to continue with that today. It's a means of God's grace. He's told us to get moving. You know, one of the real dangerous heresies in the church, I'm not going to go into it, it's called quietism. A Spanish monk by the name of Molinas is the one who perpetuated this particular heresy. But it is a heresy. You know, we say, just let go and let God. Well, that's cool sometimes. Sometimes you're not supposed to just let go. You're supposed to run with perseverance. Run the race. Check out these verses. I'm not going to take the time to read them, but they're really good verses. 1 Corinthians 9:24, 1 Corinthians 9:27, Ephesians 6:12. Those are good verses. They say, don't let go and let God, but get moving. Prophet Elijah is one of my favorite heroes in the Bible. After one of his great victories for God, he was chased by, you remember all the prophets of Baal, and that is a cool passage of Scripture. You'll find it in 1 Kings, wrong about the 9th, 8th, 7th chapters, or close. I'm not a navigator, but that's the story where Elijah comes up against the prophets of Baal, and he says, let's do this thing in a way that everybody can see. You have a sacrifice, I'll have a sacrifice, but we don't have any matches. And let's see if God will bring the fire. And so these prophets of Baal start dancing around their sacrifice, and nothing happens. And Elijah sits on a rock in the sun, getting a tan, saying, maybe your God's gone to Bermuda or something. What, your God's not going to answer? Baal's kind of asleep, you think. And then this is the SBV, the Steve Brown version, but it's in the text. And then Elijah gets up and says, and yawns, stretches, says, well, let me show you how it's done when you worship a God who's real. And he goes and pours water on the sacrifice. I mean, and then he jugs of water and they drip down the side and they go, they fall in a little trench around the sacrifice. And then he stands back, because God, like Fellowship of the Ring, is going to let something fly. And God burns up the sacrifice and the rocks and the dirt and the water and everything. Now, the prophets of Baal working for Jezebel are not altogether happy about what just happened. So after that victory, they chase him at the behest of Jezebel, sent all their troops after him. And after all the great things he had done, everything fell apart. The Bible says that Elijah went into the wilderness. He had a pity party. He prayed, it's enough. Now, this is 1 Kings 19:4, if you want to check out whether I'm reading it properly. And some of you have your doubts after my description of the story. But at any rate, in 1 Kings 19:4, Elijah says, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers. Woe is me. You ever feel like that? That's one of the normal human ways we deal with pain and suffering. We just want to die. When we lose our job, go through a divorce, suffer really financial loss, lose a loved one, our first reaction is often apathy and depression. We want to go away, do nothing. Sometimes that's the last thing we ought to do. 1 Kings, the story of Elijah's pity party continues, and I'm going to read 1 Kings 19:5-8. I told you, by the way, that story was in 1 Kings 9. It wasn't. It was 19. At any rate, it's always nice to be able to correct my mistakes on the same broadcast. 1 Kings 19:5-8. Then, as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat something. Then he looked, and there by his head was cake, baked on coals, a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him, said, get up and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Elijah had decided that he could go no further, but God had a different plan. There are, of course, times when you can do nothing more about your pain and suffering, and we're going to talk about that in a while. However, you must be very sure that there's nothing more you can do before you decide to lay down and act. When you place your hand on a hot stove, your hand doesn't hurt because you haven't prayed enough. Yeah. When you place your hand on a hot stove, it's not painful because you're not spiritual. I mean, it's not painful because you didn't read the Bible enough. Your hand hurts because it's on a hot stove. Don't pray. Take your hand off the stove. If you've lost your job, get busy and look for another one. If you've broken your leg, get a cast. If you've gone through a divorce, get on about the business of living. If you've lost a loved one, grieve and then start living again. If you've sinned, ask forgiveness, quit whining about it, get up and move. That's a means of grace, and God will give you the grace. Listen, you take the first step, He'll take the second step. By the time you get to the third step, you'll know that it was God who took the first step. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have the little booklet we're offering, Does My Father Know I'm Hurt? It's an excerpt from my book, When Your Rope Breaks, and from the teaching that we're doing now. And it'd be a good thing to give to a friend who's going through a difficult time. I'll send it to you free, without charge or obligation. You can give it to your friend, read it if you're going through a difficult time. Send it to you absolutely free, and we'll pay you the postage. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And it really is free. Hey, listen, when you write or call for the booklet, if you could help us financially, man, even with a small gift, and if you're rich with a big gift, that wouldn't hurt either. I sure would appreciate it. We promise to be faithful with everything that you send. And for any gift of any size when you request it, I'll send the cassette teaching, Singing in the Storms. Discover how the storm faced by the disciples applies to your storm right now. Hey, you can charge a contribution to your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope, and I will be so very thankful. By the way, include the call letters of this great station when you write or call. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.